Glad everybody made the effort to come here this evening. My brother and I were just talking up here, and he said, you know, it's really good to have a member of the church living right behind him. And I've enjoyed just a few times now, and I'm sure it'll continue happening through the years, to get to holler over the fence at Jerry and talk and everything. And I'm grateful to see that the Lord has worked and put him here, and I know he's done it for a purpose. And so I know that he has a desire to serve the Lord, and that he has a desire that the words that he speaks is the things that the Lord would direct him to. And so it's a burden when we stand up here. We desire to bring something that's meaningful and something that the Lord wants us to. And so I ask that you would remember him in prayer, and that you would prepare yourself, that what the Lord has to deliver today, that you would receive it. It's so important in our lives. And so with that, I give you our brother, Jerry Case.
Am I on? Preparation. I wanted to say thank you to Adam for the introduction and also for the opening prayer. I felt like his words, his requests, and the prayer were just exactly what I needed as I stand here tonight. The Lord would loose my lips and give me the words to say. The Holy Spirit would bear into your hearts the things that the Lord sees that you need. And so that's the reason we come together tonight. So may his grace be upon us. May faith be lifted tonight, and may we be strengthened by his word. I have a great many scriptures to read. I had a little difficulty knowing what order to bring them in tonight. By way of introduction, I'd like to say that my subject's really not going to be different than Adam's was this morning. And it really is about the things that we're trying to prepare for, the things that we're trying to get ready for, the things that are going to be coming upon this earth, the things that are going to be coming upon we as a people. And most important, I think, in the end, when it comes right down to it, it's what comes upon each of us as individuals. Because in the end, this is personal. And the target is our individual hearts. And this is spiritual warfare. So tonight, I'd like to talk about the shield of faith. But I'm going to possibly approach it a little bit different. Because I want us to consider deeply some things. Some things that are personal, some things that are individual to each of us, some things I can't tell you, things that only you would know, and maybe it's even beyond that. Maybe it's only the things that only God would know about you. I'm going to start reading. Maybe I'm going to change the order. I'm going to start with 1 Samuel. First Samuel, and it's the 17th chapter. I'm going to start with verse 38 and 39. And first, I'm just going to read those two verses. So this is 1 Samuel, 17th chapter, verse 38 and 39. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. I read the same thing over. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And in other words, he tried to carry it. He tried to walk. He tested it to see if it was going to work. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. So we find that the king armed David. He gave him his armor, his helmet and his breastplate and his shield and his sword to go forth into battle against this Philistine. And in the references in my Bible, it says that this man was well over 9 feet tall, that his armor weighed 150 pounds. Not David's armor, but Goliath's armor. This is quite a foe he was going forth to fight. But yet David took off his armor. Now let me read a little bit more. I'm going to start now with the 32nd verse and expand the reading a little bit. So back at the 32nd verse of the same chapter. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." And he's talking about this great Philistine. And David said unto Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out before him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Now, I'm not finished reading yet, but I want to stop, because I think that a lot of the crux of what we're going to be talking about tonight is in what David just said. You know, he didn't say, "I am so powerful. I've already killed a bear and a lion." What did he say? He said, "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the bear and out of the paw of the lion. And he will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine." He knew where his trust was. He knew where his faith was. Now I'm going to go on. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off, or he put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrib, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked up and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and a ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine took upon David, and the Philistine said unto David, "I am a dog. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saith not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands." And just for brevity's sake, I'll stop off reading there. The reason I read that first is I want, right from the first to draw out to you the idea, the concept, that there's a great difference in armor, a great difference. So when we read about the armor of God, we're talking about something very individual, very even unlike the armor that we have as people. So now I'll go ahead and read about the armor of God. Turn into Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And I'm going to begin with the 10th verse. So this is Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I want to emphasize, you know, I started reading about David, and I started reading about a battle between men, a battle between armies. I started reading about a small boy being able to win against a great giant in battle, and I talked about armor. But what I talked about was very different than what we're talking about here, this armor of God. And I can't overemphasize the way this reading started with the 10th verse, where it said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then the way the reading ended here too, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So I really want to emphasize that this armor is about God's power. It's not about your power. It's very much about the relationship between you and God and the communication through prayer. I want to tell you, and some of you already know, because of the things you've experienced in your life, that this battle, this spiritual warfare that's going on, is great. And it is as the Philistine. It is as the giant. And when we go forth, it is as a child before a giant. It is as the armies of Gideon into overpowering numbers. It's about what would be impossible for us without God. Because this battle is over our individual hearts. against someone who knows how to hit that target for you individually, against someone who knows how to destroy you. When things come into our life that are huge, that are beyond our control, that would overtake us and destroy us, that would change our life, it'll never be the same again. When those things happen, we begin to learn a lot about how small we are and how truly weak we are as men, as women, as individuals. And we begin to realize the true need we have for our Lord. But it's a time when, actually, you know, what I just talked about can happen. You can be destroyed. You can. There's choices to make. There's choices to make. And we have to make them. I don't know how many of you go back and listen to sermons that have already been given. I don't know how many of you kind of track what the subjects were and what the theme was. But, you know, we've been, it just seems like, consistently told week after week after week to get ready, to be prepared. But lately, it seems even more urgent. It's more like, hang on. It's like... I don't know. Like if you're in a car and you're in the back seat and you can't see over because you're a little kid, you're listening to your parents talk, you know, and they may say, get ready, you know. But when they say, hang on, uh-oh, you know, it's going to happen. You know, you're about to have some kind of calamity, some kind of accident. When these things come on us in our life, I'm going to talk about some things that are a little personal here for me, too. I went through a time in my life where suddenly those things, those battles, became enormous, enormous beyond my comprehension. Where the battle was and the damage was deeply personal. I had, this is back when I was in college, I was 22, and life had been going on just hectic. You know how busy life is. It happens to you. But I was, I don't know, what are you when you're 22? Immortal? There's so much you don't realize yet, so much you don't comprehend about the realities in life. And although I was working about 3 part-time jobs and carrying full-time school and doing all those battles, I still had no idea the size of the things that were before me. One night we went out to gym class. I had an evening gym class where we were playing basketball, and my girlfriend, I was actually kind of jumping on her. I was saying, you know, what's wrong? Get with it. Because she was just kind of, she was much better than that. She was kind of doggy, just kind of. You could tell she just wasn't in the game. She was kind of dragging. And I was actually kind of getting on her. And I took her back to the dorm. And she was telling me, you know, I really don't feel very good. I feel like I got the flu or something. I said, well, okay, you know, I understand, you know. The next morning I got up and I went to school, and I was in the middle of class, and a couple students came to the door that knew me, that were from in other classes, and they came and they got the attention of the teacher, and the teacher called me up, and they took me out of class. And she was in the hospital, and she was very ill. Long story short, she was in the hospital about 21 hours, and then she died. And there's, you know, you can't be prepared for that. You can't be prepared for that. It's overwhelming. It's hard to comprehend. And I went through a time that was, needless to say, a surprise to me. I experienced things that I didn't understand. Many times you talk about the pain of a situation like that, but in the end, over time, what became so oppressive to me, the way it happened for me, was that I became kind of a, I should say, a sort of an empty abyss. I couldn't feel. I couldn't seem to have joy. Pain would have been a relief. There was just this overwhelming emptiness. My grandpa used to call it a dry heart when he would describe it. And it just went on and it went on and it went on, and I couldn't get better. I don't know. I'm guessing I was kind of fun to be with because I tried so hard. I laughed and I joked around at young people's, and I tried to be fun, tried to entertain others, and I couldn't feel it. I couldn't be happy. And in some ways, I couldn't be sad. I was just empty, and I didn't know how to deal with it. It went on and it went on. And finally, something that came into my life, and it's not a good story, but one day, I took such an enormous risk with my automobile that I, after it was all over, I realized how dangerous I'd become. That I kind of didn't care. And I realized that I wasn't just dangerous for me, I was dangerous to others. Why am I telling you this? I'm trying to give you the idea of the enormity of this personal attack, if you've not experienced it. The enormity of things that can be before you, that they come in different forms. They're not all a giant that's 9 foot tall. Sometimes they're deep and they're inside to tear you apart from underneath. Well, it was kind of a gift to me, what had happened that day on the street. And there was no damage, maybe some terrified hearts, other people I frightened, but it woke me up. And I can't just tell you, so I just did something about it. It really comes back to this reading. It comes back to being strong in the Lord, about falling down in all your weakness and seeking Him in prayer, and going back and saying, help me, please help me. I remember one time, a real dear friend of mine called me. It was like maybe 3 a.m. and talked to me till the sun came up. And it was something, a conflict she was going through, and she was engaged in some things that weren't the best. And she was making some poor choices, and it was bothering her. It was plaguing her heart. And so it finally began to bother her. Her conscience was bothering her so much that she literally shouted out, leave me alone. And she said it happened. And the Lord left her alone. And she felt a loneliness, a desperation that she had never known, a coldness and a distance. And the reason she called me was because she believed that I cared enough that I would stay on the phone and I'd talk to her and I'd pray with her, and she was trying to get the Lord back. And so we spent the rest of that night talking on the phone and praying together, and by morning she seemed to feel better and she didn't have to go to work, so she went on to sleep. But we need to seek the Lord and be prepared. We need to become strong in the Lord now. We don't need to wait until the hour is critical. And we need to know where to turn when the weakness is so apparent within us. We all have our day. There's this this shield of faith, and I think that there's something about it that is very appropriate. I'm always amazed at the wisdom of the way things are written. A shield is it's a little different than a breastplate. A breastplate is something you put on and you wear it, and there's not a lot active you do with it. It's just there, and it protects you, and it does help. A shield is something that's active. It's something that you hold in your hand, and you do things with it. It's something that, as it describes it here, that it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the fiery darts of the wicked, you know, there's other scriptures that talk about these things too. We find many times those can come in the form of words even, the things that people say. Because those words have the ability to pierce you to the heart, to hurt your feelings. They have the ability to discourage you and turn you away. And it's even worse if they come from somebody you really care about. And so you need that shield of faith. I found during the hard time that I was going through that the back end of those fiery darts is almost more harmful. And what I mean is that in my emptiness, I didn't react so well many times. I look back on it, and I don't think I realized it at the time, but I look back on it, and I can't believe some of the things I said to my parents and how hard it must have been. And it was me. It was me that was firing those darts at them. And so I found myself finally in prayer, in deep prayer, trying to change my ways, trying to turn myself around. You know, in psychology, there's the normal way, they talk about the normal way that we cope when we come into adversity. There's about 8 different classifications of coping mechanisms. In those 8 different classifications of coping mechanisms, there's about 35 individual coping mechanisms, and within each of those, there's multiple subgroups. So there's, you know, we're all individual, and we all have different ways that we cope. But what I'm trying to warn you about is that some of those things, though helpful, some of them aren't helpful. Some of the ways that we cope are destructive. And so I want you to turn your heart and your mind, and when you think about preparing, turn your heart and your mind on the armor of God, on being strong in His might. If you would shield yourself, if you protect yourself, let it be with this shield of faith. What other things do we use to shield ourselves? You think about it. Let's talk about marriage, maybe even, because that's a relationship that's common among men. I find in the counseling I've done with married couples that, you know, you can talk about all the detail, but in the end, there's kind of this common thing that seems to be the biggest, and it's trust. It's trust. It's hard to get past a distrust when you're trying to have a loving relationship. It's like you can't get to love when you have a huge distrust that's in the way. Well, it's not different because it's a married couple. It's the same problem when it comes to you and your relationship with God. Trust is hard to get past. And when you've been hurt, sometimes we get angry at God. Sometimes we distrust. You know, I heard a joke where a guy had fallen off a cliff and he was hanging onto a limb for dear life and on the side of the cliff, and he couldn't seem to get himself up, and he didn't want to fall, and he was crying out for help, and he heard this voice from above saying, "Trust me, let go." There was a long period of silence, and he said, "Is there anybody else up there?" It can be hard to understand a trust in God when you're hurting. I want to go on to some other scriptures now. Isaiah. This is Isaiah 55. We've had it read a couple times in the last couple weeks. Part of the reason I like the way, I'm going to start reading with the sixth verse, and part of why I start there is because in the heat of battle and all the distraction and all the chaos, it can be hard to concentrate, to focus, to reach out God to God like you need to. And so I think it's good to think about it now while you're not, while you're actually sitting here in a soft pew with some time to think. So it makes this first verse kind of fitting. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, in my calamity that I just told you about, it was a pretty rocky road. It was a pretty difficult change, but it was a change in my life. And the truth is, I've really never looked at things the same since then. I've actually had people come to me at work because they'd been in a meeting with me where there's a big argument going on, and I was pretty quiet. And they would come to me and saying, "You know, I'm not sure what you're thinking, you know. One of the changes in me was that I learned that my quick tongue was not a benefit to me. That I was better off taking time and thinking things out. And it's funny how, after working in the corporate world for the last 14 years, one of the things I learned was very few things get done in a meeting. And especially if we're talking about changes or that are big, at least for me, I found that I could accomplish a whole lot more by talking with people one-on-one over a period of time. And it takes a while to turn a culture, to change a way of thinking and get people headed in a different direction. I used to be a clown. I used to have a good sense of humor. I think I do now still. But it's funny how through life I've become kind of a quiet man. And part of what I think about is I really do try to be slow to speak. I've never been able, again, to get past the idea that, you know, when I have a few moments alone with my wife and we talk, I've never been able to get past the idea that it may be the last time. That's always with me. And you can't approach things the same way when that's on your heart. And the truth is, I really can't get past that, even at work. It changes the way I approach people to think that we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next hour. And so part of what I always consider is how to say what I say, because it may be my last chance. And I share it because I believe that we're given that advice to be slow to speak, to be slow to anger. Our ways are not His ways. And that's one of the reasons I read that is because I believe even those 35 different coping mechanisms that we use they're our ways. And that above all, we should seek out God's power. That we should wield the shield of faith. Now, faith, if we turn over to Hebrews 11. Here it is. Verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And it goes on to give many, many examples of different things that were done by faith. And even as I say that, faith... many times we don't find that word alone. There's another word that often accompanies it. Just kind of two words that go hand in hand. And the other word is exercise. So many times when you're reading your scriptures and you see the word faith, it's talking about exercising faith. That faith isn't a dormant thing. It's something that we do, something we show. You know, so many of these scriptures are say exactly what I've already said, and so I don't know whether to repeat them or not, but I am. I'm going to turn over to Proverbs 3. The verse I'm really wanting to get at, it just says, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." You know, one of the hardest things in my life has been... I've always been terrified to speak in public. It's just something about my nature. I can talk with people one-on-one, but to get up in front of people just terrifies me. And so right from the first, when I had to get up to preach, the heart of my preparation has always been in prayer. It's always about the ability to just get up there to speak. And sometimes I find if I write too many notes, I just look at them and get a bit confused. But one of the things I've learned is how consistently God comes through, how consistently God is faithful to us. The shortest notice I ever got on a sermon was I went to Cindy and I were invited to have lunch with my cousins, Donnie and Bonnie Case, and they were going to church in Warrensburg at the time. And so we thought, kind of a last-minute thing, we thought, well, why don't we go down and see if we can find the church in Warrensburg? We've never been there. Let's go to church with them. So we went down there, and it seemed fairly simple to find it, but we didn't find it very easy. We wandered around the whole time of Sunday school, and we got there just right as they were singing the closing song of Sunday school, and we walked in and had the closing prayer. Brother George Brantner was up front, and he just came down across the floor there when he saw me walk in the back, and he grasped my hand with his great big old hand he had, and he says, "Well, hi, brother." He goes, "You're going to speak to us today, you know, so..." But I was fortunate in that I already knew how faithful the Lord was, and I dismissed myself to the restroom and fell on my knees and prayed, and I got up and preached with no preparation. And I find when I talk to my other brothers in the ministry. In fact, I was talking to a fairly young one recently, and he was just saying, you know, I don't think I could do that. But as he thought, he remembered that there's been more than one time that he's gotten up with all his prepared sermon in front of him, and when he went to give his sermon, he didn't. He gave a different one. Because the Lord had him give a different one. The Lord knew the hearts of the people, and he changed what he delivered. And really, what the reason I say that is the Lord is faithful. David knew somehow that you don't talk against the Lord of Israel. He knew that the Lord would be his strength. It says, you know, I felt like I saw the heart of David in the kids as they were singing tonight. You know, they weren't just singing, they were singing, just belting it out. And it says that David hasted to the battle, that he ran towards the Philistines. And that is our privilege. That even if we're the culprit, even if we're the one that's going through the hard time and not handling it well, even if we do things that disappoint us terribly, if we fall on our knees to our God, and ask him for his help in facing that giant. He's there. And he's pleased. He's pleased that we come to him. It's just like I gave a testimony here, maybe it was a week ago or something, where I came in from outside and one of my little girls was just a toddler, and she was toddling towards my big iron stove that was just sitting there singing from the heat, you know. And when I saw her stumbling towards that stove, I just yelled at her so loud, and she jumped and just looked so frightened, and I thought I scared her, but she turned. And she reached up to me, and I gathered her up in my arms, and she grabbed me around the neck, and she just held on so tight. And I believe that's what it feels like to the Lord when we turn to him. And he gets to feel that we love him, and we hang on to him. He welcomes it. He's pleased. I had more scriptures to use, but I think I'm going to go ahead and turn to Hebrews 12. In closing, chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And I thought of what Adam said this morning, where you spoke that you felt like you brought hard things in some way. I don't remember how you said it. But the ministry stand up here not to punish you. You know, this isn't a test. It's not something for you to suffer. And even when it's chastening, it's out of love. It's for the welfare of your soul. And it's funny, I've been to college, you know, had all kinds of studies, learned a lot of things. I remember our brother Don talking about that very thing a couple weeks ago. He talked about some of the things that he had to sort out of the things that he learned. There's things that are true and for your benefit and things that are not. Things that are false. And I know sometimes as parents, we fear when you go to college that you might get tangled in those things. But I know the truth is going out and going to work is no different. You will learn things that are wrong, and you will learn things that are right. And you got to be able to sort it out. So, God be with you. God's grace be upon you. May you learn your own weakness. May you learn God's strength and have the benefit of seeking him while he may be found, that in the hour that is dire to you personally, where you personally would fail, that the Lord is with you and you won't fail because he doesn't fail you. I love you. Thanks.